Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode from MuseTech.net. That's MUSTECH.net. I'm one of your hosts, Joe Pizzano, and along with Darren Morton. Say hello, Darren.
Hello, Darren.
We welcome you to another episode of our podcast show. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about what we've been doing, where we've been. Haven't been around for a while. It's been, what, six months or
yeah,
so?
Yeah, 6 months.
We thought about doing a podcast last month, and I have to admit, I lined it up with our good friend Darren here, and I didn't show up. And about a day later, I get a call from Darren saying, hey, what happened? I'm like, what happened to what? And sure enough, I forgot about it, so that's my fault, and I'm going to publicly apologize to you about that online. So a couple things been happening on MuseTech.net. We had to get more bandwidth. Did I tell you about that?
No, you didn't.
I kept getting these errors from my host saying, your bandwidth is exceeded.
And, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was awful. Basically, what it does, they shut you down. You pay so much a month for so much bandwidth, and when you exceed that, you're done. You know, they gave me a warning. I kept looking at it like, close to the end of the month, and I thought, oh, I'm going to make it. I didn't make it. And so I had to upgrade. We started out MuseTech.net with somewhere around maybe a gigabit of bandwidth. That was almost 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that was okay for a while when nobody knew about us. But now that we're getting 200 to 300 RSS feed readers a day and between 600 and 700 unique site visits. So the way I look at it is we're getting 1,000 unique visitors to our site a day.
And we appreciate each and every one of those.
We do. And one thing we wish that would happen a little bit more is that we get a little bit more comments. We're always talking about that.
Exactly.
When I was out in Chicago, I was talking to a fellow out there by the name of Leo. And he came up to me. I was at a booth. He looked at my name tag, and he says, oh, you're Joe Pizzano. I said, well, yes, I am. And he goes, oh, you run the MuseTech.net site. And I said, yes, I do. He says, he told me, Darren, he says, I read that site every day. And I thought to myself, well, how long have you been reading it? So I asked him. He said, I've been reading it for 6 months. And I said, you've never commented. Right? And he says, well, he said, you know, I was, he says, for some reason, he said, I was just afraid to comment. And he said that, you know, he just felt that he didn't have anything to say or to add. And he thought everything was so pristine. And Lord knows it's not. Every time I look at that, I see all these misspellings on there and, you know, paragraph errors. And my advisor of my dissertation would be all over that. But it's a blog, right? It's a blog.
Amen.
So, and I told him, I said, Leo, I said, man, I said, that is just crazy. That's exactly what we're trying to do the opposite of.
Mm-hmm.
We're just trying to encourage people to talk, and we're trying to encourage them to get on and say hello, even if it's so much as to say you just like the article.
Yep.
And that's all it is. So if you read an article and you like it, comment, say hello. We have a forum section now. It's finally gotten off the ground. I think there's maybe about 7 or 8 posts in there now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're pretty good at getting back to you on that. But that brings us to maybe a little bit of the topic of the day, which is our Me Blogger campaign. The Me Blogger campaign started in earnest on January 1, 2008. And what it is it's a concerted effort by me, a fellow by the name of Owen Bradley.
Who we spoke to on the show.
And we're trying to get 100 music educators blogging by January 1 of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big goal because from what I found out, and I've been studying this for a long time, there's just not a whole lot of music educators blogging out there. And that's one of the reasons I started to blog in the first place was to start a conversation with other peers and with other music teachers to say hello, to get the global conversation rolling. And so far, I haven't posted it yet, but I believe the official number is we are at 28 music education bloggers in the last 2 months, which we've been pushing it pretty hard. I think it'll slow down for a little bit now that the school season has started. But I'm pretty excited about that because, you know, this is real easy math for me. 28, we're trying to get 100, 28%. You know, can't complain about that. But
that's better than Hillary did in Wisconsin, I believe.
you know what? You might be right about that. But that'll be for our political blogcast.
And make a comment on that.
That's right. If you want to comment about that, let us know. You know, interestingly enough, you talked about that. I didn't hear any of the presidential candidates talking about music education. Did you hear anything?
No, I've heard nothing.
How about radio engineering? Any of that going on?
No, I don't hear anything about radio. What about HD? I've not heard one of them mention HD radio.
No, no HD radio going on, which is a timely matter for you, because I understand here at the college that we're switching over.
We are in the process of it, finishing up some quotes, going to get a substantial amount of tower work underway as soon as the weather clears, and pretty soon we'll be adding digital sidebands to our analog carrier.
Digital sidebands to your analog carrier. Does your wife know about that?
No, she doesn't.
Okay,
so, well, but
sounds like an enhancement.
I think our marriage is strong enough to handle it.
There you go. Well, you know, we did a podcast about HD radio.
Yes, we did.
You can go back in the archives. I'm not exactly sure where it is, but we talked about it. And
mm-hmm.
I know one of the exciting things for me about HD radio is the ability for us now to not only have one venue of talking or one venue of on air, you're going to be able to have multiple channels.
Correct.
Within one station. Is that
right? And I will say a quick plug. We don't want to get too far off topic, but what you will find in a lot of the major markets where you will find an up-tempo or a contemporary country format station, their additional station on their frequency, their additional digital station will be, say, like they'll have a traditional country station or a 50s and 60s country format station, and those digital stations are non-commercial. So if you have an HD radio, you can pick up a traditional country format with no commercials in it.
Hey, just
and
quick,
it's free.
Just a quick question,
no
subscription. About that. How you know, are the cars coming with that option now? Or, you know, because I imagine most people in the car would be the ones using this. I mean, is that an option? I've been shopping for a car lately. Or is that something you have to get installed still?
Right now, Ford, BMW, and I believe Honda are committed to making that available as an option on radios and cars.
Okay.
I don't think GM and Chrysler have committed to it. I don't know if Mercedes has yet.
I was over at a Sony outlet,
mm-hmm.
and I did notice over there that some of their radios are starting to have that built in.
Yeah. It's only been in the last few months that an affordable mobile chipset has been available.
Okay.
That is really hard to say.
I see that.
An affordable mobile chipset has been available.
Say that five times. That's all right. It's too much of this great McDonald's coffee, which is
getting
caffeine.
I smell a plug.
Hey, interesting you were talking about that. I don't know if you've been following the industry, which that would be a shock if you didn't. you see the Blu-ray's been declared the champion of the high-def media format.
Now, Toshiba has bowed out.
They have, and that's good news for the rest of us. Now we don't have to think about what we're going to do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have an option. We just go out and we buy Blu-ray. I love this kind of decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, though, that Blu-ray won because they were a little bit slow out of the gate. And Microsoft, who, of course, was fast out of the gate, the first one to get the HD DVD players out with their Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
And even with that, they still kind of went down the tubes. Now, as an Xbox 360 owner, I stayed away from it because I wasn't exactly sure what was going to happen. I wasn't going to make my decision until the winter season here this year, because I kept looking at that format. I thought, okay, well, you can get 50 gigabytes currently on a Blu-ray and only 30 gigabytes on a dual-layer HD DVD. But more importantly, when I was looking at this spec, the Blu-ray has a theoretical limit of 200 gigabytes,
mm-hmm.
where the high-def DVD only had 60. And you know what a monster media is becoming in the high-def formats.
Yeah.
It just seems like the more the better with that. But Blu-ray also just didn't have the support from HD DVD didn't have the support from the picture people.
And with Disney announcing, I think last month, that they would only release titles in Blu-ray.
Blu-ray, that was pretty much it.
That was the nail in the coffin. Nail in the coffin.
It was.
And also another large announcement here recently, Panasonic, I believe, has purchased Hitachi's LCD technology. Which is interesting because Panasonic has been the big player in plasma today.
Right.
And they've been the staunch supporter. And as far as high-end plasma goes, the Panasonic leads that industry.
Hmm.
And which is kind of interesting. Now, is this Panasonic capitulating to LCD?
Or does
Panasonic want a slice of it? Interesting.
It's hard to say with that kind of stuff. I know personally, we just bought an LCD high def set. It was 37 inches. It was a Philips. You know, it's got to be getting better. And I have to tell you, I bought one of these ones with this super high contrast ratio and this extremely fast refresh rate. And it is so sharp, and the contrast is so black.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just blown away by it. And it just is just, in my opinion, it that size set, which is still on the very small end mm-hmm. of a plasma, the LCD just cranked by all the other ones I was looking at it. So
mm-hmm.
I ended up getting that. But, of course, plasma still is the big player in the bigger sets. At this point, maybe LCD is going to be making that play.
Well, the old adage went that you can do better on the contrast ratio
with plasma.
With plasma,
right.
But you have to go to the really high end plasma nowadays. You have to spend the big bucks, and plasma is heavier. It runs a lot hotter,
and screen burning is still a problem with a lot of plasma.
It still
sets.
Is, and so. I think the bang for buck ratio still goes to LCD. And,
I agree.
And fundamentally, you don't get the reflection on the LCD screen.
And to me, that's what it's all about. I just
if you have a sunny living room, you've got to have an LCD.
I know. Or, you just have that brilliant, bright personality like you, that you'd be looking at yourself the whole time in there.
You're referring to the shiny head.
No,
sure.
I wasn't. Honestly, I wasn't. Hey, I'm on my way. I'm on my way with that. So
if you have no life and you have an Xbox, you're
going to
be in your living room
right,
a lot.
Exactly, right. That's right. You don't want to look at your mug, when you're on the TV. That's the last thing you want to see is how much time you're spending in front of that Xbox, which is a lot of fun. We really enjoy that at our house.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the Meat Blogger campaign. So we're looking to get 100 music education bloggers by January 2009. I've started up a number of helpful tutorials and helpful Meat Blogger posts to help you get along. And our promise has been that if you take the challenge, then we're going to help you do it. We're going to help you get set up. We're going to help you get rolling. We're going to make the contacts for you. You're going to join our network of people, and it's really exciting to finally see this start to happen. There are a number of people in the last 2 years, it was a small number of people, that were the people going out and commenting on other sites. It was me, Owen Bradley, a fellow by the name of Jason Heath, and a couple others. That's all you ever saw out there. But now when I get down out there and look at different people's sites, I'm seeing comments from all these people that have just joined, these Meat Bloggers. So we're starting to open up that dialogue. And one thing I wanted to talk about kind of along that line is the usefulness of RSS to allow all the Meat Bloggers to kind of stay in touch with each other and get the information from each other without having to go to all the individual sites.
Mm-hmm.
RSS has been around for a long time. You and I have talked about it before. RSS stands for Really Simple Syndication. Or if you're an old dog, you might remember it as Rich Site Summary.
Oh, wow.
And I'm not exactly sure which one is really correct, but it seems that people go with Really Simple Syndication. And what that allows us to do is to have the information begin to work with us. There's really been a paradigm shift, and I'm calling it a paradigm shift, in the way that we get information and we put information out on the web now. And it's been made possible through these feed technologies or feed protocols like RSS and Atom feeds. And give you an example, the way this used to work, if you wanted to find some information, you would go to Google or Yahoo. I used to use Alta Vista, and then one day I came into this very office, I think, or it was an office by here, and you were looking and you were like, Google, you guys ought to try Google. And I'm like, Google? Who uses that, right? What was this, about 7 years ago or something?
I've been on Google since day one.
You have? I mean, you're an original Googler.
Yep.
And I remember laughing at you. And then now I am the biggest turncoat. I mean, I am such a Google fan. It's just unbelievable. So there you were again, setting the trend, right? I mean, you're
pioneering,
trailblazer. Trailblazer.
And one of the first people, I believe, to type Microsoft into Google. But we won't discuss that in a public forum.
What do they call those, Google bombs now?
I don't know.
Okay. So anyways, what this RSS feed allows us to do is, the old way, you'd go in, you'd look for information by typing it in the web, and then you'd get, 2.5 million hits. And then you would kind of sort through that. And, of course, if you got a little bit savvy with your Googling, and you could start using quotations and the minus Boolean operators. But still, the way it works is you typed it in, you go to the site. If you were smart, you might bookmark that site so that you didn't have to find it again. The way it works now, and this is where the shift really comes into play, is we still go out and we have to find the information, or someone has to tell us about where it is. But a number of sites now, almost a majority of blog sites and a number of news sites and all kind of other sites now, offer the ability to subscribe to what's known as an RSS feed. Once you subscribe to that feed, the paradigm shift comes into place. The information now comes to us. We no longer have to go out and find that information. We've already found it. We marked it. And now it comes to us. And that's the real change in how we're getting information. So we can use what's called an RSS reader. You can use iGoogle or you can use Gator. Or what I have been really big on is BlogBridge, BlogBridge.com. It's cross-platform. It is completely free, and it handles 200 to 300 feeds. I've had it up to not quite that many, about 60 feeds with ease. And basically what happens is you subscribe to the feed, and you can make categories. For instance, I have the Me Bloggers. I told you we're up well over 25 now. And so instead of me having to go to 25 sites, wait for all those things to load, I have created a RSS category on BlogBridge. I click a button. All the information comes to me. I know immediately when someone's updated their information. I can get a preview of it. I can read the whole thing. I can click on it. I can go to their site. All the information is coming to me, and it makes the entire informational exchange much, much faster. RSS feeds are changing everything. They change the way we put information out. They change the way we get information back in. Another thing that we started with the Me Bloggers campaign is we started a PageFlake site. And PageFlakes also is an RSS aggregator. And you can go out to pageflakes.com/meblogger. You can find this out by going to our website. Right across the top, the first thing you're going to see is a little icon. You can click it. It says 100 Me Bloggers. All this information is in there. You can go to that site from anywhere, and it online pulls in all the feeds. You don't have to type in anything. We've just taken care of that for you. If you want to see what's going on with the data, it's right in there from the Me Bloggers. You can just go to that. Another really cool thing is OPML. Have you heard anything about OPML?
No, nothing about OPML. Educate me.
Okay.
You music educator guy, you.
That's right. I'm the RSS guru, I think, of music educators here, which doesn't say a lot, by the way. OPML files are an awesome way for us to share a chunk of RSS feeds. And that's really – it's an XML, which is another type of web protocol. So it's a way of typing in things. It's a way of categorizing code for information. But all it is it's a list of the names of the feed and where the feeds are. So, for instance, with our 20-some RSS feeds of our Me Bloggers, again, we're trying to get information to work for us. Rather than have you open up an aggregator like BlogBridge or iGoogle, type in everything individually, you can just import the OPML file. Bam, you have all those RSS feeds right in there. It's really easy to make with BlogBridge. We have an OPML file of all of the Me Bloggers. I also made a tutorial of how to use BlogBridge and import these OPML files, but once you get your hands on an OPM file, it's basically like the treasure chest. Here is the names of all these feeds. Here's where they're at. Import them. You no longer have to type them in. It makes it very smooth for exchanging information and for getting your RSS feeds up quickly. So OPML is the way to go. If you don't know how to use it, that's okay. I've already done it for you. It's on our site. You can incorporate it, and you're going to be just blown away at how the information starts to work for you.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I'm excited about the launch of this, and there's been some great things happening. A lot of people are interested in this, and we're starting to fill up Google with music educators that have educated opinions and educated ideas about music, and that's what we should have. You know, music educators talking about music. For the longest time, there just wasn't a tremendous amount of information that was easily findable. There was a lot of information out there, but it just wasn't easily findable. That's one of the problems with a static web page. If you put up a web page, or what we call a 1.0 web page, that doesn't link or try to collect backlinks or move itself up in SEO and move itself up in the page ranks, the only way someone's going to find that data is if you email them and say, here's my site, or you give out a business card. The blogs are extremely efficient at getting your information up in the page ranks, especially if you link to other people, when you start this comment conversation with people. I tell the people on the blog, I can't tell them enough, the new Me Bloggers or any blogger that's trying to do things, you need to comment on other people's site. You need to add those sites to your blog role. And anytime you write an article that has to do with anything that refers to anything that you've read, make sure that you include a link there. You want to create a track back to that other site. And when the search engines start seeing all this kind of connection going on, they go, oh, hey, MuseTech.net, there's a lot of people linking to that site. That mm-hmm. must be an important site. So we're going to return MuseTech.net's result over top of some spammer or splogger out there yeah. that's just trying to make money and has no information. So our information starts to rise to the top of the search results, and that's what we're looking for.
And remember, be polite, but question, challenge, and comment.
Right, comment. Question, challenge, comment. Talk, have a conversation about what's going on, because that's what we're out there doing. You know, these are professional blogs. These aren't journals. These aren't diaries. Where, you know, I imagine you could do that, but what we're looking for the me bloggers is to have an open conversation about our fields and about mm-hmm. what we do. So very excited about the campaign. Be happy to talk to any of you. Our forums, you can email us, www.mustech.net. You can go to the contact page on there. And join our conversation and become a me blogger. Or if you're a regular blogger, if you want to just be a regular blogger, the me blogger information we have out there all pertains to you. It just happens that we're talking about music.
And on the front page is a kind of a really cool chunk of script there. I like
that. Did you like that? I was really excited about that. It was really cool, and it got my geek going with that. I've been looking for a long time at a few sites that have that, what they call a page peel, P-E-E-L. I'll spell that because my Pittsburghese gets in the way. They call it a page tear. And what it is just the upper right corner looks like it's tearing away, and you click on it, it folds down and gives you information. And right now I have a page tear, two page tears up there, and they're both pointing to the Me Blogger campaign with a great graphic that I made, which is free for any of the Me Bloggers to include on their site to show mm-hmm. them that they belong to our campaign. And I encourage you to use it. It's free. It's an awesome graphic. It would have cost you a couple hundred dollars to get that graphic made, and I did it for you for free.
Always looking out for the
crowd. Yeah. That's right, looking out for the Me Bloggers. So.
Okay, so this has successfully become the longest podcast.
Yeah.
But we had so much to cover.
We did.
We were off for so long, and we had so much to cover. So.
And we're going to be getting on to give you an idea of some of the podcasts coming up. Darren and I were talking. We'd like to do a couple podcasts about live sound reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to do a couple podcasts about how our good friend Darren actually does the podcast. And you've written an article on MuseTech.net about it's been a while back,
yeah.
but it was an excellent article about getting the right equipment to podcast and using some of the software. I can tell you right now, we use Adobe Audition
mm-hmm.
as one of the big products for our audio for this. But we're going to do a lot of technical podcasts coming up. We're going to have a lot of guests coming up as well.
Yep.
We have exciting guests from Australia in one of the next two talking about an awesome piece of software that really seeks to combine sequencing, notation, theory, solfeggio all into one. That's never been mm-hmm. done before, and I don't want to really give too much about that or the product at this point, but that's going to be coming up soon.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. I'm sorry I hogged this conversation here.
This was wonderful. I always love learning something, and I learned a lot today.
Well, I appreciate it. Well, for now, this is Joe Pisano.
And I'm Darren Morton.
And we'll catch you next time.
Hey,